And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Tammy Lee. So nice to hear your voice. How
Thank
are things
you.
Down in Florida these days?
They are great, and we are heating up with an early spring and just wrapping up St. Patrick's Day weekend. So it's been a great day weekend along the Gulf Coast.
Wow. That's right. There's a lot of activity around St. Patrick's Day, and we've had some of it around here too. So, well, I'm glad you're doing well. Ali is back, and Ali was out of the country traveling. Tell us whatever you want to. What happened while you were out?
Sure.
We missed you. We Dr. E did a wonderful fill-in for you, but we kind of want to know what was the mission you were on.
Oh, certainly. It's great to be back, and it's lovely to be on the radio show with everyone once more. I actually, not many people know this, but most people know that I work with some, pretty intense spirits in various traditions, especially in the Near East and North Africa. But as Kat and some other people know, I also have been working in the tradition of Kimbanda for a little while. And have been a Kimbandero. Well, this trip was actually the completion of my training. I was crowned a Tata Kimbanda. So I am a high priest in that tradition. Now, what Kimbanda is, it was a rather long ordeal, but a very exciting one. Received my spirit vessels and the accoutrements of office, if you will. What Kimbanda is it's a Congo form of black magic. It comes directly from the Bantu-speaking people of the Angola region and Congo. And thanks, everyone, for the congratulations. What happened is when people were taken as slaves, they were from that region, they were taken to two separate different places. When the people arrived in Cuba, their spirituality merged with the various indigenous traditions and became Palo. When I went to Brazil, that same tradition became Kimbanda. So Kimbanda is the cousin of Palo. The only difference is, whereas Palo is based off of what I would call the warrior society, this is the leopard society, it's much more related to nature and the forces of nature, Kimbanda is direct necromancy. So it works specifically with spirits known as the Kulundulu or the Ndoki, which are known as Exu and Pambajira in Brazil. And these are very fiery, considered some of the most powerful spirits of Africa. To give you an example of the type of spirits that we Kimbanderos work with, when you look at these other traditions, For example, Santeria, Lukumi, Paolo, a lot of the spirits took on masks of Catholic saints. You know, this is the face that they presented to people. Well, the spirits of King Banda took on the masks of devils. You know, the saints' masks didn't exactly encompass their nature. So it's a very fiery tradition. And ultimately, the Tata Kimbanda is given dominion over life, death, and magic. So it's a very exciting, you know, tradition. And this is something that I'll be offering clients now going forward, in addition to my work with the Near Eastern and North African traditions and root work. I'll also be doing Kimbanda.
Wonderful. So I have a question, and I posted it in the chat room. There's two different ways that people spell Kimbanda, some with a K and some with a Q. How do you spell Kimbanda?
Actually, it's spelled a variety of different ways, but they all mean the same. The Q-U-I was the oldest spelling. That's the spelling that's been around in Brazil for the longest. The K-I really came out of the 70s and the 60s, where there was this attempt to divide Kimbanda. Now, a lot of people try to, you know, create all sorts of divisions. Oh, Kimbanda with a Q is this type of work, and Kimbanda with a K is this type of work, but ultimately is the same. The spelling varies. The oldest spelling that we find is the one with the Q, though.
And so what I'm asking is, how about your house?
We spell it with a Q.
Okay. Just want to make sure I spell it right. I know it's funny how, you know, but people will hang on a thing like spelling, and that will help identify what path you're on. You know, people are like that. All right. Well, thanks for catching us up on that. Now, we have a guest here this week, and we haven't even brought her on. Miss Michael is our guest from AIR. Say hi, Miss Michael, and tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I have not been traveling abroad or being initiated into anything. My adventures are much smaller. I was really inspired by Dr. E's descriptions of vegetable oil lamps way back in January, and I've been fooling around with that, still in development, because I'm experimenting with a new kind of wick. But I'm making them in candle glasses with my own labels and glitter and all kinds of fancy decorations. And as soon as I can get them to burn nice and clear, I'll be able to reach for an oil lamp whenever I can't get the right color candle, which is a frequent occurrence.
So you're saying you burn these in, these are being burned in like an 8-inch vigil candle glass?
Yeah, some of them.
Wow.
And of course,
wow,
I can use other shapes if I want to, but I happen to have a lot of empty vigil candle glasses on hand. The thing is, such a tall container tends to catch whatever soot is thrown off. So, yeah, I'm still deciding what I want to do about that. And the other adventure is we had Bayard Rustin Day yesterday at the chapel. Yeah, and
tell folks about Bayard Rustin, because they need to
know. Oh, my goodness. Well, my Lord. Any civil rights milestone back to the late 40s, he had a hand in. The prototype actions that led to the Freedom Rides of the 60s went, go back to 1947, and he helped organize that. And he was in on the Freedom Rides, and he was in on the Montgomery bus boycott. And I think it was during the Freedom Rides that he was arrested in North Carolina and ended up on a chain gang, about which, of course, he wrote an article for Life magazine, which led to the abolition of chain gangs in North Carolina.
Wow.
Meanwhile,
and this was his birthday?
March 17th is his birthday. So St. Patrick doesn't do it to you, do it for you. Give me a shout-out on Facebook, facebook.com/ Caroline Dye Memorial Chapel. And I like to celebrate by reading about Bayard Rustin and lighting a candle for him and sharing a vegetarian feast with him, because he was a vegetarian. If you make any discoveries about him, whether in reading or talking to people, or directly in the spirit, post it on the CarolineDiedChapel.org blog. leave a comment there or on Facebook.
How old
I want to make
would he have
big.
Been? How old would he have been? What year was
year?
He born?
Mm-hmm. This year was his 100th birthday.
Oh, I see. Wonderful.
So, yeah, nice big solid round number. So, yeah, I was very excited about that. And things were kind of turning pear-shaped at our house as I was preparing the feast, so it got a lot simpler than I had planned. And mm-hmm. I made some red curry noodles, a nice vegetarian recipe, and it was going beautifully until I reached for some frozen tomato paste and didn't realize until it was in the pot that it was chopped jalapenos.
Oh, my.
So it was a little hot. a little hotter than I wanted. Still very good.
Mm-hmm. Mary B. in the chat room says he was also a gay rights activist.
That is
she
right.
Says.
Yes. From mm-hmm. way back. From way back. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is why we don't know him until now. Mm-hmm. Because he was gay, he had to be fired from, I can't remember which civil rights position he held. He was working closely with Martin Luther King, and he was fired from one position because he got caught in the backseat of a car with a nice young man.
Hmm.
And another because he was fired from working with Dr. Martin Luther King because J. Edgar Hoover threatened King that he would spread the story that Rustin and King were lovers if
oh
he didn't
my.
Let Rustin go. Mm. So he's been in the background, but of practically every big civil rights thing. He even started campaigning and helping with the planning and the political actions that led to the end of apartheid in South Africa so many decades later. He
wow.
was in on everything. He learned.
So you're working with his spirit at this point. I mean, you are. This is part of your chapel work. So people who are interested in civil rights, racial equality, gay rights, and activism in general, activism that's going to be helpful to change society, should contact you at the chapel for. For guidance on how to work with this spirit. And you've been working with him for quite a while, if I remember right. I mean, you...
Oh, two or three years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I put him on my altar around the time we moved to Willits, so that would be about 3 years now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's on my ancestor
mm-hmm.
altar and also on my justice altar, next to his star pupil, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was actually uh-huh. commenting on that in the chat room, I recall a photo, and I don't remember where I saw it, but it was an image of the great justice workers that you work with. That's a very
mm-hmm.
unique, beautiful way of working, mm-hmm. these spirits for social justice and social change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
It's very
wonderful
close
stuff.
To my heart.
Well, thank you for telling us about that, and I know there are many people who are interested in that kind of work, and you are one of the members of AIR who does this the most out front and overtly, that not just justice for individual people, although, of course, mm-hmm. most of us will take on that kind of a case, but that you are involved in doing what we would call large population scale, world-class justice and civil rights prayers and work, and that one mm-hmm. of the major features of your chapel, and I love that part of you, Michael. It's just one of the things about
Thank
you that
you.
Makes you who you are.
And it satisfies my spirit, too. And Brother Bayard and Dr. King are just pointing out that there is a blank space in front of their pictures on my altar, and it's all very well that I have glasses of water and gave them a feast last night, but where's the candle, lady? So it's
yeah.
time for an It Gets Better candle. If I had I do have a red vigil light, that might do. But maybe I'll have mm-hmm. to put together another lamp.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Miss Tammy Lee is standing by. We're going to be taking calls, and she'll tell everybody how it works. So take it away, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And we will be going to our wonderful callers who have signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And we'll be going there in just a quick moment. But first, just a reminder to everyone, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali. And this week's special guest, Miss Michael, will be right back. we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client is calling in from area code 617 from Boston, Massachusetts. This is Heart Exalted. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Welcome to the
show.
Yes,
you can.
I'm
going
to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And he writes, a couple of years ago, I left my PhD program in the social sciences because I could no longer find meaning and fulfillment in it. After struggling to find work, I have a job that is fairly secure and mostly pays enough. In a different grad program now for computer science and trying to find a way to make it through the program, get enough hours in at work and afford my needs and pay off some debts, including student loans and credit cards. I mostly like to reach a place where I'm financially secure and stable, easily affording my basic needs and some wants, paying off all debts and satisfactory to rapid pace, no longer needing loans or credit for school or anything else, and in general, a better financial situation. Would like some divination and spell work recommendations. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Heart Exalted. Actually, you've got such a clear path, I don't feel a need for a lot of divination here. But let me just ask you, what is the sign of the zodiac that you were born under?
I was born under Aries.
Aries. See, Aries don't need divination. They just need to be pointed in a direction.
Oh.
Well, you know, because what you're asking for is, you're telling us what you want. This is a real Aries. You know what I'm saying? This is a real Aries. This is what I want. Okay, let's get there. Aries are the most fantastic sign of the zodiac. They always begin everything. Aries begins the year, and Aries is a person who generally does have a direction. One of my old astrology teachers said Aries is like an arrow. Just point them where you want to go, then follow them. So
yeah.
I'm going to pull a card just to see what I'm having here, and I get nothing else but the King of Wands. This is a card that can represent Aries or any male figure or strong female, if they're very strong female, but some, usually a male, who is a fire sign person. They are sitting on a throne. They have a wand that's burst into leaf, and they're pretty much in charge of what they're doing. They do tend to look to the past a little bit. They face the left on my card deck. They have lions and salamanders that are emblems of fire. So I'm going to say I don't think that you need a lot of divination. I think what you probably need is more guidance as far as what kind of conjure work to do. Would you say that's true?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I think we should just all three of us pitch in here and just start throwing ideas at you. Seriously. And I'm going to start the ball rolling with my first idea, and then I will just pass it around the circle. We'll all see what we have to say. So first idea that I would tell you, as far as you want to get yourself out of these student loans and you want to pay off your debt. Now, you're not going to back out on it. You're not going to declare bankruptcy. You want to actually get it done. First thing I would do is do a money altar. Do you have an altar for money?
Not a money altar specifically, no.
All right, we're going to start you off with getting a money altar. Now, there are several kinds of money work, and I'm going to explain them to you. You're in a PhD program. You're smart enough to figure out how to take notes or go back and listen to this show in the archives. So there are three kinds of work for money. One is to attract money, right? Then the other one is to to retain money, you know, not lose it, always keep it retained. And the third kind I call money in kind or work in kind or trade barter money. People don't consider that very often when they say, I want money, that they can actually trade for things outside of the economic system. So I consider that to be something that every money worker should always work for, is for barter and trade. Now, I'm an old hippie, and people will say, oh, it's too complicated to do that. No, no, it's never too complicated. It's always worth it because you actually, everybody profits more. So you're going to start with a money altar, and I'm going to say that you would want to start with a lodestone. Lodestone is used to attract money. You know what this is? It's a large, naturally magnetic rock. You know what we're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And you're going to want to feed it. Now, you can feed them with magnetic sand, or you can feed them with anvil dust, either one or the other. Anvil dust costs a bit more per ounce, but it came from an anvil that a blacksmith worked, and some people consider that to have more power than just regular old magnetic sand, but either one will work. You feed it. You can address the lodestone with money oil, and some of the money oils are money drawing oil. There's also attraction oil, lodestone oil. Any of those can be used to address a lodestone. Money house blessing, which is to bless your whole house with money. Any of those types, even just straight up bayberry oil. Those are all used as money oils to address your lodestone. The kind of lodestone you use on your money altar, people tend to like one that is somewhat flattish or will sort of lie down on top of money, because you're going to be feeding it money. You're going to put bills underneath it. You're going to put coins around it, and you're going to actually have a little nest or a little home for it where you're feeding it money. And you want to do this on a regular basis. You can burn green candles when you want to, but you don't have to have candles. Not every altar needs to be a candle altar. Although, for many people, altar means candle altar. I tell you, I've gone years with no candles on my altars because, hey, I just didn't need candles at that time or on that altar. So now you can put up fake coins. Some people will. They put Mardi Gras money. Some people say, never use fake coins. You have to have real coins. Your spirit's not really in it. You have to sacrifice some real money to put on that altar. I mix them. I put the Mardi Gras coins up because they're cute, fun, and pretty, and I put up the real coins and the real money because I'm actually sacrificing some money there. You can put up pictures of the things you want, the house, the garden, whatever it is you need, the car, the new refrigerator. Put their pictures up if you want to. You don't need to. Some people call that a vision board. Some people use those little display things where you can put photographs and have them stick up. You just stick them up around there. Whatever you like. You can work with spirits. Some of the spirits that are used for money drawing are Saint Expediti, because he brings things in a hurry. Some of the Afro-Cuban people will use Saint Lazarus. He was poor, and so he's used to keep you from poverty. But we'll get to him in a moment when we get to the second kind, which is money stay with me. A money stay with me altar is to decrease your debt load, and that's what you're going to want to do too. So you're going to want to, you can use the same lodestone, but now you're going to talk about decreasing your debt load. So dress it with money stay with me and put money under it. Now this money is held underneath that lodestone and used to pay down your debts. Even if it means, I know people say, oh, I do all electronic bank transfers. No, no, actually pull a $20 out there and go to your bank and stand in line and deposit it, because you want to magically push the money that you have accumulated into the pile of debt reduction money. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? Okay, you're going to pray that nothing breaks. Money stay with me. You can dress money stay with me. Now, here's where we start to edge off into bartering kind and things. Anything that could break, your car, your refrigerator, your washing machine, your dishwasher, your chinaware, put a little cross of money stay with me oil on it all. Just don't break. None of you guys break. I don't need it. You can even put it on yourself. I don't want to break any bones. I don't want to go to the hospital. I got a debt. I got to pay it. Straight ahead, let me accumulate money and not be breaking things, not have anything to be repaired. Okay? The house, everything. Dress it with money. Stay with me. Money house blessing is also good for the house. Okay? And then the third thing is barter in kind. And this is where you start working with people who you can trade things with, and it will bring you incredible security. You have to be a judge of character to do this. But if you do, go get my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, and under Sassafras, there's a little thing about getting money that is owed to you, where you make a little petition paper, and it says, faithful to a trust. Work with people whose names you can put in that petition paper, faithful to a trust. These are going to be people that you trade chores or tasks with. Well, I'll build your website if you repair my car, that kind of thing. Keep an eye out for it, do it. And when you have that, though, get something of that person, something of their body or their a coin they gave you, something of them, a button that fell off their clothes. Put that on your altar and make sure that they are bonded to work for you and not to cheat you. Okay, so that was my advice. Okay, I've said my piece. Who's next?
I think I'll go next because I just want to make sure that I don't forget what came to me. Okay?
Okay.
I actually did see. Now, I'm not a skilled astrologer, so I did a little divination. Okay? And I came up with a Bible verse, 1 Kings 2 and 3, about the Queen of Sheba. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels and spices and very much gold and precious stones. Told Solomon all that was on her mind, and Solomon answered all her questions. So, you need to find advisors in the material world also. And I would say, see what you can do to get your student loans reduced. I know there are programs out there. Find them and take advantage of them. Lean on them real hard. I also pulled a few bones. And in addition to the scripture, got several indications that a woman will be a strong ally for you. Before I forget, I want to ask, are you married or in a relationship?
Kind of in the beginning of what might or might not become a relationship.
Okay. All right. Well, I have the cowrie shell. It's upside down, so it's kind of not open to you yet. I also have two coins, a Chinese cash coin, and a Sacagawea dollar has a woman on it, a guide, a skilled guide. Right on top of that is the dog's ankle bone. So if you never do get into a love relationship with her, she'll still be a loyal friend who will help you with your financial life. Not strictly a financial advisor, but what she has to say about money is important. Listen to her.
We got a request
in here too. Yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Michael, we got a request. Would you repeat what that Bible verse was? I caught 1 Kings, but we didn't know what
1 Kings 10, 2
okay.
and 3.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, all right. Yeah, this woman, this female allied, definitely not a sexual relationship, as I can see from the chat room, but a good friend and a good advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's all I got. I think you should be working with saints also. Right, definitely. I want to, maybe, I'm not sure about this, St. John the Almoner, who I heard about last year. But he was a very generous man. Someone gave him a generous gift, and he sold it to feed the poor, and the giver bought it back and gave it back to him. And he did it again. Generosity, I think, is going to be a factor here. Paying stuff forward when you get the chance. Yeah.
Yeah. It's building a new relationship to money. It's St. John the Almoner. An almoner is a person who gives a charity. And you know, like alms for the poor, you know,
yes.
for the poor. Then an almoner is a person who gives alms to the poor.
Yes.
So, let's bring Ali on this. Contraband Ali, what do you think?
What I would want you to do, going, you know, staying on the practical advice aspect of it, I haven't actually thrown anything down, so this is just from spirit, is I want, given the Bible verse that the loveliness my Cal gave us, what I'd want you to do is include a precious stone, or a seemingly precious stone, as we'd like to say, a pyrite, on the altar, you know. It's supposed to be representation of gold. So put that on there in addition with the lodestone work that you're going to do. And I want you to get dirt from a crossroads and dirt from your local bank. Mix that together, specifically with money drawing, money stay with me, incense. Not the powders, the incense. The reason I'm getting the incense is because incense has, self-lighting incense has saltpeter in it. It gives that explosive element that'll help break through any type of barriers that are holding back your finances, that are keeping you from really establishing yourself financially. So get yourself those dirts, mix it with the powders, include that on your altar along with pyrite, and regular work is what you're going to do. The way of working with a lodestone is not only are you, you know, putting money under the lodestone and things like that, but you have to actually go out and spend that money too. And given what Miss Michael and both Miss Michael and Miss Kat have said, you want to give some of that money to charity. Okay, so you could pick a saint, for example. So if you have a particular fondness with Saint Espedita, you can give it to a charity in his name. The idea being, by sending that money out with generosity, spiritually, that will return to you. But you can also train that money to become a sort of hunting dog. You dress it with the powders that I mentioned, okay? You sign your signature underneath the signature of the treasurer, or you write RTM, return to me, and you send that out with the idea that this money, after it's been sitting, charging, gathering that magnetic quality, of the lodestone and all these powders and all these candles and herbs and roots, that you send it out and it comes right back to you double. Okay, so that's what you really want to do, is you want to create a flow of money is what I'm sensing here. Okay, they gave, both of my colleagues gave excellent recommendations on protecting your money and things like that, but what I really want to see here is a flow. Money going out so that money comes in, okay?
Yeah. In the chat room, there's been a couple of interesting comments. Words in New York says he's got a car problem. What's up with that? Well, I already told you to dress your car with money. Stay with me. I sense the same thing. And if whether you have a car or not, there's something. Do you have a car?
No, ma'am.
You don't have a car. All right. Wow. There's something about that I'm, you have no car, use public transportation. I was feeling something lacking. That's it. You don't have a car, because I was going, there's something wrong. And Words in New York said the same thing, something wrong with the car. Well, you don't have one. Okay, that explains that.
A question about transport, though. How are transportation costs for you? Public transit can be expensive.
Usually it runs me about $59 a month, although through my school I get a little discount on that.
That's reasonable. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. No, I think what I was picking up was something's wrong with this car. I come from California where everybody has a car, and I'm just like, well, something's wrong with this car, but you didn't have one. All right. So the next thing I would say that was mentioned was that that you should, with those student loans, work on the idea of getting them reduced. I think that's a really good idea. Miss Michael saw a female figure, and she mentioned the Queen of Sheba. But there's something else about that kind of rung my bell. The Queen of Sheba in the First Kings is about King Solomon. This is who this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And King Solomon is the guy who kind of presides over the academic realm, in that he was said to be the wisest man on earth, and of course he was a judge, so a lot of people who are in the legal professions like him, but students also work with King Solomon because he was so wise. And working with King Solomon's wisdom oil, and this is a very traditional name for this, it's not just King Solomon oil, but King Solomon wisdom oil, is a way to score well in your tests. And since you're trying to juggle a job and a PhD program, you are recommended to use King Solomon Wisdom Oil. Dress it on your computer, dress it on your head, You can read about it online. There's a webpage on it at Lucky Mojo. And that is, just a way to work that will keep you scoring high on those tests. Also, Crown of Success is used to score high on tests, stuff like that. One other thing, because, you know, you're talking here a lot about money, and you want to afford your basic needs, make it so that this is just from the world of practical advice, your basic needs is going to keep you at a certain level. So what you want to actually do is ask God or ask Spirit or ask the world of the universe, the divine, your guardian angel, for just that little bit extra above. Now, we talked about giving something to charity, but you are aiming a little low. I would say ask for your basic needs. Ask for enough to give to charity, enough to pay off your loans, and enough to put away a nest egg. And set your goal just a little bit, you know, just crank your goal up just a little bit higher. You're allowed to ask. You're allowed to ask. Nobody would let their children go hungry, and if God is our parent, God will not let children go hungry. So you can ask. Please help me here. Lord, I need just to have a little bit more. Not trying to become an egotistic, vain person who's, driving that Rolls Royce or whatever, but I just need a little bit more. So ask for what you need above and beyond, and especially if you vow some of that to help those less fortunate for whatever reason, that will, give a tithe or something to that effect. Okay?
Absolutely. That's excellent. I'm a big believer in not just asking for what you need, where you pray, oh, please let me have enough to pay my bill. Sure, that'll come in, but then what happens when your next bill comes in? Always asking for, please let me have enough that I may have, pay all my bills, fulfill all my obligations, but still have enough to live comfortably or to give to charity. Yeah, I agree with you, Kat, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, hon. Well, I hope we were able to help. Okay.
Oh, Miss Kat?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask also, I remember you mentioned St. Exbad. In fact, in the past, I have sometimes prayed to him and made offerings to him with kind of mixed results. So I was wondering if maybe anybody could, tell me a little bit about where I currently stand with him.
Well, I'm afraid we don't have any more time now for another question, honey. We've spent our time on answering the question you wrote down in the forum. Okay?
I understand completely.
Yeah, okay. So what were you going to say, Ms. Michael?
One more word I wanted to say from Bayard Rustin, and that is dignity. Because, as he said, when you protest, that confers dignity upon you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't just suffer in silence, but do ask for enough to live in dignity.
Yeah. And one more thing, hon. If St. Expediti ain't your guy, then just don't work with him. That's what I would say. You'll know where you stand with him. You don't need to ask me or anybody else. These spirits will work with you directly. And there are others. If that one is not the spirit for you, you'll find it. And it may not be a Catholic saint. It may be a spirit of a tree or a spirit of a rock or, pyrite, as we said, lodestone. Many people find those much more copacetic than a being who was once a Roman centurion. Just depends on what you like. Okay? All right. Let's go on to our next caller. I really enjoyed that one because I got a chance to rant, and I hope everyone just forgives me my long rant on money. As I wrote in the chat room, I could have talked for another 20 minutes without taking a breath. So, Miss Tammy Lee, where do we go next?
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and letting everyone know also that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oils, sachet powders and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's return to those callers who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. Our next client is actually calling from area code 502. This is Rima Jones from Louisville, Kentucky. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am, and thank you very much for picking me today on such a short notice.
Well, great, and welcome to the show. And
thank
I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and she writes, I'm cursed. My education did not work. No jobs for me. I get to buy Lucky Mojo spiritual supplies, and they work for a while. All is well, and blessings surround me. Then out of nowhere, something blows up big time. Lucky Mojo supplies help me land the best jobs. Then kaboom, my education is no good. Have you ever heard of this? Oh, accredited schools and everything. I'm in bankruptcy trying to keep my house. The attorney is neglecting a course of action that is vitally imperative. I applied to a tuition-free college and do not know if they will accept me. My son is walking away from his family after I did a Lucky Mojo Peaceful Home cell kit. He changed his sweetener, then honey, then for a short while. Then we got jinxed again. His grandma cries because she brought him up and misses him. He quit his job, broke his car down, blames me for everything. When I talk to him about going to the university, he becomes a werewolf. My brother has it all and does not want to help anybody, or my mother or my son or me, and he knows about unresting, social, mundane situation. I do not even get unemployment benefits when I apply, and when they put money back into the account, I do not get food stamps. They give me $16 only. My son is walking out on us. We don't know how to contact him. I keep praying, asking to lift this curse. Help me, please. I live with my mother, and she is the only help I have, and she is sick. Turning it back over to you.
Whoa. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Ollie, you're going to do the reading on this one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm sorry to hear about your troubles. And normally in a case like this, you described here, I would say, it seems like there may be a curse of some sort going on. However, it seems to me that what is going on is actually more self-inflicted, that it may be a self-jinxing, and a combination of bad things happening at the wrong time with a bit of self-jinxing. The card that really stands out for me is the Ten of Wands. The Ten of Wands shows a man bent, his back is bent with the burden of carrying 10 staves, and he's struggling to make it back to his home. The problem with this card is that he is burdened, he is oppressed, he is feeling like everything is going wrong, and that he is struggling to reach that goal of getting peace, returning to his happy home. But the problem is, he can drop that burden at any time, okay? He can remove that burden and walk freely. You seem to be carrying things on your shoulders that are keeping you from being able to reach that level of prosperity, that level of happiness. For example, you're worried, your older son has everything, but he's not willing to help out. Well, some people aren't generous, but it is weighing down on you. And so this is really confirmed with the next card that we get, which is the Four of Pentacles. The Four of Pentacles shows a miser king, the little king sitting outside of a city, and he's clutching a coin to his chest. There's a coin on his crown and two more at his feet. And to a certain extent, this does explain your older son who's not willing to help up. But it also shows me that this idea of the Ten of Wands is really the energy that we're getting here, that type of holding on to something, clutching on to your situation and being unable to let change into your life. There is some form of jinxing going on, a combination of negative climate around you. But I don't see an active enemy in this particular case. I don't have someone working against you. Instead, what we have is this, difficult situation made further complicated by the fact that this negativity you seem to be holding on to. And the final card that we get is the Judgment card. The Judgment card shows the Archangel Gabriel, or Raphael, blowing the horn of resurrection. And from the graves, the coffins open up, and people are raising their hands, and the dead come to life, and they're raising their hands, praying, and giving, glory. It shows a family united. It shows a family that is together. So what I do see is that this isn't a hopeless situation, that you're not faced with odds that are going to an enemy that is going to completely overwhelm you. Instead, we have a situation where you have become buried by the burdens of your life, by the various negative things that have happened, this negative climate, this self-jinxing, this envy from others, has all built up into a burden. And now what needs to happen is a release. It needs to be removed so that you can reclaim your life, you can come back to life, so to speak. And this can be done through direct spiritual work. The image of the archangel here tells me, hey, prayer is the way forward, that you can get your life back, that there is hope for you, but it is going to require you to have to really throw off the shackles of the past, throw off the shackles of what has really been holding you down emotionally, as well as in terms of the environment around you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, well, let's turn it over to my colleague.
All righty. I have a question. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm an Aquarius.
An Aquarius. And about how old are you?
I am 49.
49. So you're going back to school now at the age of 49.
Mm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you said your education was found to be no good. What education did you have previous?
I was completing the pre-nursing program, and I was planning to get into nursing school, but I tried so many times, like 4 or 5 times, and each time I always get someone, a teacher or something, that who gets me out, and I keep trying, and it's just like, I'm just like so... it's just like it's not working, and I'm trying right now to go into to get my BS in business administration and possibly law school too. So that would be a dual degree. But I am 49,
right.
And I'm trying to see something, you know, where I could just most of the time sit behind a desk, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to just speak to the astrological point of it. Nursing was not a good career for you. Business administration or legal work would be much better for you just based on your sun sign. So
okay.
I'm going to... I think that you've actually turned a corner yourself. In other words, there's things that you already have undertaken that are causing a change. I'm going to throw some of the bones that I have here, and I'm going to do a quick bone reading, okay? So this is what we get. Okay. So what I have here is just a little array of bones. This is not all the bones I have. I have a weasel jaw, and the weasel jaw with teeth always stands for gossip or people speaking bad about you. And this weasel jaw is embracing or around, it's like biting into a cat's eye shell. And the cat's eye shell, it stands for the evil eye. It can be protection against the evil eye, but it means you're not protected in this case because it's just literally biting into this cat's eye shell. So that would say to me that there has been attacks against you through gossip or slander. You need to protect yourself from people talking about you. Now, that doesn't mean to be shy, but it means to be friendly to those who are friendly to you and protect yourself against those who are not friendly. Mm-hmm. There is also a little key. This is a tiny little key, like they would open a little treasure box. And it's a little iron key from the 19th century. And the key is lying across... if you do a path from left to right, it's lying across at a diagonal, and around the key is a coyote claw. And so this says to me that even the key that you're trying to open the doors with, there's a coyote claw, means a trickster. There's somebody trying to hold you back. There's something trying to hold you back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then there's another bone that is... a dice. It's like a bone, you know, like, but it's only one dice. It's just a die. And it has come up here with 5 up. And 5 is a number for me that says you might want to do some protection work or magical work around it. Use all of your skills and talents. I call it 5 is for magical work, because the five spot on a dice is the way I was taught to do oils. When you put them on a window or a door, you put them in a five spot pattern. And five is a lucky number. It's not a great number, but it's a lucky number. But it does stand for magical work. And what I'm seeing here is that you have had bad friends or bad enemies, I guess you could say, in the past, but they're faced away from the present. And what's happening right now that is the most difficult, you have this key, but you need to do some work to protect yourself, because this coyote claw says what went wrong before could happen again. There are people who around you who could be trying to bring you down. I liked what Ali said about opening the door yourself. And if I just look at the key and that five dice, I'm like, use things yourself. Now, you mentioned that Lucky Mojo products have been useful for you, and I would, but only for a short time. And so I would say then just simply keep on using them on a regular basis. We only, in our lives, we don't get one haircut. We don't just cut our fingernails one time. We don't just buy one dress to last us the rest of our life. And if you are going to use these things, I don't see them curing everything forever. Okay? So you're going to have to reapply them. Okay? You may be, there are people around you who don't intend you the best, however.
Right.
Okay? So, Ms. Michael, what do you say?
Well, I did some divination, too, and I saw the hand of Fatima, the hand with the eye in the palm for protection, upside down, eye not open, on top of that Sacagawea dollar again, that womanly guide money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you need to get some protection work done. At my website at hoodoofoundry.com, if you go there, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a list of articles. One is how to booby-trap your house against evil root work. Now, mm-hmm. that spell involves a model Ark of the Covenant, but it can be adapted to a picture of the Ark of the Covenant in a locket. And I would like you to do that spell with a little picture and to put in a locket with your hair. You know, it's kind of like a mojo bag, but it's a locket, so that it doesn't matter if people see it, because it's just jewelry. And that way, if anybody who tries to bite you is going to get bit, because that spell is based on in the Bible story where the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, this great symbol of God's power, and they took it to their temple, and the priests started getting sick, and the idols started falling apart. Okay, I do see that you have people who are jealous of you, and how can they be jealous of you if you have nothing? It's because they're thinking, who does she think she is trying to be a human being and a citizen and take part in life like a normal person? That's just ridiculous. I can't stand it. And there's a lot of that going around. So I would like to see
I'd
you
like
work
to
that.
I'd like to add something else, too. Your mother.
Oh, yeah?
Your mother is sick, I think you said. She's not doing too well?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like you to do some blessing work around her. She's going to need that. You also mentioned your son, that he is walking away from the family. You don't know how to contact him. Word I have on that is be patient. Go back in the archives and read about how to do a, or not read, but rather listen to the radio shows, how to do a picture frame spell where you have his picture in a frame and bless it. I don't have time to tell you the whole spell all
right.
over again, but you may have heard it before. Make a little place where you are blessing him. He is walking now, you know, he's leaving the nest and he's not doing a good job of it. And so just put yourself at rest by doing all the blessing work you can for your mother and your son. As for yourself, I would do some bathing and cleaning of myself. You are going to need this on a regular basis. You have what I call low tone. In other words, you're not the strongest puppy in the litter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You've been like that. And when there are jealous people around, you are easily knocked off your center. So you might want to work with a regular root doctor, or you might want to just do regular cleansing baths and or cleanse with an egg, throw the egg away. If you read our forum, and I know you do, you'll see a lot of things in the cleansing and bathing area, because that is where you need to go. It's forum.luckymojo.com, and it's all set up in different areas according to conditions. You want to look into the cleansing, blessing, and also the road opening areas, because some of this is your own negativity that you start circling mm-hmm. around because you don't cleanse enough. Okay?
Right. I'm just going to add one thing here, is that, you know, a very great advice, regular cleansing is good. It'll help handle that negative climate that I was talking about earlier. However, what I really want to emphasize is that the sense I'm getting here is, and Kat mentioned this with this active uplifting, protection is great, cleansing is excellent, but you need to rebuild, okay? Mm-hmm. You're working from a position of powerlessness, and that's the worst thing you can do to yourself. You're literally putting that burden on your shoulders. Oh, but my teachers do this and people do that. No, stop that. Knock it off. Get yourself a power bath. Get yourself some Queen Elizabeth. Reclaim the power over your life. Go get yourself the keys from a crossroads. Empower yourself so that these other little pests are nothing more than that in your life, okay? This is your life. Take the control, and you will succeed. You know, you're not doomed to fail. You won't. You have all the tools you need in order to success. Regular cleansing will help all that negative climate around you. Bless your mother, bless your family so that your family stays together. And then reclaim your strength. Don't blame the world around. Throw that burden down and go forth with strength, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to put in one more thing. One more thing. You said you're in bankruptcy trying to keep your house. Put the nails, put the railroad spikes around the house. Again, you'll know about that.
Right.
You can read that at Lucky Mojo. Good.
I did. Okay. And that's why it lasting with me so long. I did. And
good.
I love you for it.
Good.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad.
I want to ask you about magical coaching. How would I apply for a pro bono?
To get pro bono, you're
in
luck.
I can't fill out the application.
Okay. To get pro bono, you need to have an application made by someone there. The chairwoman of the pro bono fund is Ms. Michael. You've just been on the phone with her. Send Ms. Michael. You called the right show at the right time.
I recognize your voice. Didn't you leave me a voicemail yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. I'll answer that, and we'll get this thing going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
Ms.
you
Michael
very
will
much.
See to that. All righty. Thanks
Thank
very much
very
for your
much
call.
Thank you very much, and blessings. Thank you.
God bless
you,
too. Now, I'm going to just put in one minute here about the pro bono fund, because not everyone knows about it. This is a fund in which members of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, which is AIR, at readersandrootworkers.org, donate readings. They donate, and of course they're donating readings right here. They donate goods and services, candle services, mojo bags, protection amulets, whatever it takes. Most of us do not, in fact, I don't know any of us, we don't donate love work, and we don't donate revenge work. But we will donate work for money, for jobs, and for justice, and things like that. And Ms. Michael keeps the pro bono closet, and we send her things, and we also will sign up. She will send things to clients. But in order to find out about it, go to readersandrootworkers.org, read about the pro bono fund, and then try to get a free reading on here, and Ms. Michael will take care of you. Thanks. Okay. So, Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. It's a great call and some great advice. And just a reminder for everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is Callie, calling from area code 917 from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Callie, are you there, caller?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I sure can, and welcome to the show.
I'm going to go ahead and read the, you're very welcome, read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, my fiancé and I have been arguing a lot lately. He has a temper and he snaps easily. He has said a lot of stuff to me that I don't like, and when I give him a dose of his own medicine, he gets highly offended. I had a reading many years ago. The way my fiancé proposed was told to me by the reader. When I was living that experience years later, I shared it with him, and I think that that was a mistake. He says a lot of negative things. He has a master's degree in theology, but he's not religious. At one point, I think he followed me and had someone follow me. Is this true? He also has issues with an experience I had, but he has serious issues with his own past. What can I do to make the relationship right? Does he love me? Does he still want to marry me? If he doesn't, what can I do to calm his temper and to make him more understanding of me overall? If he doesn't want this, what can I do to change his mind? Turning it back over to you.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions, and we'll turn this over to Miss Michael to do the reading first. But I'm just gonna ask you a couple of questions. How old are you?
46.
And how old's your fiance?
57.
Oh my. And have either of you been married before?
He has been married before.
But you have not. Have you been in long-term relationships before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. All righty, Miss Michael. Oh, I'm going to ask one more thing. What's your sign?
Aquarius, and he's a Pisces.
All right, then. Miss Michael, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, when I hear stories like this, you know, I tend to get a little pessimistic. I don't blame you for being pessimistic, but the deck is all, the cards are kind of bouncy and happy shiny tonight. Okay, we get the Ace of Pentacles, which is often a prosperity card. It's upside down. I do work reversals. You don't mention money troubles. So it looks like, you know, you may be physically comfortable, but as you said, you are unhappy in practically every other way imaginable. We have the Emperor next, a strong male figure. He likes to be in charge. And then we have the Star, a card of great hope and juicy spirituality.
Okay.
She's a beautiful nude woman. She's pouring water onto both the land and into the water. On the land, it makes things grow. In the water, well, you know, nothing's growing. Nothing needs watering. It's interesting, she's got her gaze fixed on the water. The water that is not making any, you know, nothing's happening there. She's also got, she's kneeling on one leg, and she's got her foot standing on the water. You know, like she was going to walk on water if she stood up. Very strange picture, Ed. But I think you're concentrating on the negative aspects. Yes, they're demanding your attention, but I think you could shift your attention. I think work could be done that would make things grow, but you're not looking in that direction right now. The last card is the Sun, the happy, shiny, wonderful, happy ever after card. It's interesting that you mentioned that he has a degree in theology and is not religious. This is not an extremely uncommon condition.
Yeah.
I pulled a Bible verse, 2 Kings 10, verse 27, they demolished the pillar of Baal and demolished the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. And I think that's what you're afraid of, that... That his faith has been destroyed, perhaps, or that he might destroy yours. It might not be conscious. It might not be what you're fighting about when you actually open your mouths and start arguing. But it might be underlying everything. And I have to say that one of the dearest people in my life, one of the most upright people, is an atheist. Don't let the brand name frighten you. These are two separate issues. Morality
he's not
and
no,
you
just,
said he's
I
not
just,
religious.
He's not, but he's not an atheist either. He doesn't
so not practicing.
Right.
I see. Not a worshiper. A believer, but not a worshiper. Okay.
Right.
I've known people to make a lot of stew out of that particular oyster. Don't bother. I see a lot of... all I see in these cards basically is personality clashes and discordance and clashing about spiritual approaches to life. And that's as far as I can go with that right now.
Well, you're throwing in a lot of complaints because part of this is about arguing, and he has a temper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say when I give him a dose of his own medicine, he gets highly offended.
Right.
But that's not a good basis for a relationship. And but then when you're complaining to us about how he has a degree in theology, but he's not religious, now you're just dragging in the kitchen sink. So I'm sensing that you have some anger here, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you want us on your side, and we're not here to necessarily be on your side. We're trying to get to the reading aspect of this. So there are communication problems for sure. Ali, what do you see?
You know, it's interesting. I can see what Ms. Michaela is seeing, but working with my spirit, my interpretation of the cards are slightly different.
Really?
This is one of the situations. Yeah, it's slightly different here. And I would go a little far to say, you're a bit old to be acting like teens, okay? Where you're doing this tit for tat, okay? Oh, he's angry, so I give him a piece of his own medicine. I'm sorry, but that's not what a good relationship is based on, just like Ms. Kat.
Okay.
And then we have this idea of he's not happy with an experience of yours, but he has issues of his own in the past. You don't really tell us what that experience is. Is it a matter of trust? Is it a matter of infidelity? Is it a matter of, you know, financial difficulties? What experience is it that's really grinding at him? The issue that I'm seeing here is that there's something eating away at this guy and this relationship, and it's going to keep eating away at it until it's addressed. These fightings are a manifestation of something else. Okay? These fightings are all a result of some core conflict that's going on between the two of you, and it could very well be a disagreement over spiritual matters. My opinion, that hope, that star card, is usually a card of new love. I would probably say that this is a relationship where, yeah, you can work at it, where you can try to fix the communication problem, but there's a lot going on underneath, there's a lot going on at the core. As Ms. Kat said, you kind of threw in a lot of complaints. And that's a sign of not necessarily a person who wants to make things work, but a person who wants people to agree with them. Okay? So I am saying in this particular indication that I don't think this may be the right relationship for you. You yourself have been hurt. You yourself are angry. And I don't think you're ready to let that go quite yet. And I don't think he is. And as long as he's unwilling... You know, there's a lot going on in this relationship that is working against you and against this idea of further commitment and marriage and you know, taking things to a new level. Is it possible? Sure. I think, however, the star card is telling us maybe it's time for you to look at a different relationship, new love.
Yeah, I'm gonna say something here too, because you had a lot of questions and I'm gonna try to address them just a little bit. You said that you shared things with him, but it was a mistake. That's because he used it to take advantage of you, in power ways. The two of you have a power struggle going on. He says a lot of negative things. Then you go off on your complaint about his theology. At one point he followed you. Is this you think? And is
that
true? Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's true, but I think I don't think he hired anyone to follow you or had anyone follow you. He may have followed you. He didn't hire anybody. But here's the thing. You guys are engaged in a war, not a love affair, okay? Then he has serious issues with his past, and you have serious issues with him, all right? So what can you do to make your relationship right? I'm not sure you can. Does he love you?
Right.
Well, love is defined as many things. Love is sometimes the emotion that flows over the surface of a big pile of doo-doo. I mean, like, love just washes everything clean for a moment. I was in a relationship once that lasted years where it was much like this, only worse. I mean, it even involved physical violence. And but love was always, oh, but he loves me. You get whipped back into that again. You know, washes everything clean, and then the kind of the tide goes out, and there's that big pile of doo-doos again, you know. So does he still want to marry you? Yeah, but do you still want to be married to him? What can you do to calm his temper? Pretty much nothing. You know, seriously, pretty much nothing. This, you both have temper issues. You both have, I just don't feel this relationship. I just don't feel it. You're getting on in years, but that doesn't mean you're at the end of the rope. You know, you just keep on trying. I don't feel it for this one. I'm just saying to you, I could give you a whole lot of things, like put him in a honey jar, try it. But I'd set myself a time limit on this thing. I would say, how long have you all been together now?
We have been together since November.
November of 2011?
Yes.
Okay, no, just forget it.
Next.
Yep. Yeah.
Go on to the next one. This baby is not. This is not the right puppy. It's not. If you had told me 10 years, I'd go struggle. But I'm just seeing bad signs every which way. This is too volatile a situation.
I just want to say that the last two cards I pulled were extremely positive. The story's in two halves. You know, start your other story and get your great hope and your sunshine.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that you have a good future. You have a possibility of a great love. That sun card is a very valuable, happy card. But I'm not seeing it with the sky. That's not what I'm seeing. And just, you know, take a deep breath and
walk onto a new path.
go claim your sun card with someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. That's how I see it. I'm an honest reader.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All righty. Good luck to you, baby.
But you know, one more thing. You said, I asked about the following part. You said he did or
if
might
he did
have.
It, he did it alone. No, I said if he did it by himself. I don't believe he hired somebody.
Oh, okay.
And this is now officially the I Have One More Question show. Okay, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Katz. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Mike Hell of HoodooFalvery.com. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now let's go to the callers who have signed up to be on the air. And our next new caller is calling from area code 323 from Los Angeles, California. And this is Sashi78. Sashi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Sashi78?
Yes, you are.
Super. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just read the great brief sentence that you wrote for our host. She writes, "Hi everyone." She writes, "I have had a fight with my ex and would like to reconcile with him. We've been going back and forth for 5 years." Turning it back over to you.
Okay. Thank you for such a simple question. That was brief. That was good. All right, and I will ask you a couple other things, Sashi.
Okay.
78. How old are you?
33.
How old is your ex?
32.
And what's your sign of the zodiac?
Aries.
What's your ex's sign of the zodiac?
Aquarius.
Okay. Hey, we're a lot of Aquariuses today. Isn't that interesting?
Me
and
too.
Now you call this person your ex. this ex of yours, how long were the two of you together?
Okay, we were together. It's a long story. We were together for a few months back in 07. We've continued the relationship as friends back and forth. We've both moved on with our lives, but somehow we keep reconnecting. And back in November, I decided to just end the friendship because I realized that I was still in love with him. So about a week ago, he called me upset because I no longer want to be in the life how he really needs me and told me he's still in love with me. And then I was honest about my feelings and told him I'm still in love with you too. But for the past about 7 months, he's been in another relationship.
And is he still in another relationship?
Yes, he's still in another relationship. He is. And yesterday, I mean, we were supposed to get together and we did it. And I got upset. I just got upset and I argued with him for no real reason. And now I want to talk to him and he just won't talk to me. It's not like him to do that.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a really quick card reading, but I'd really like to get to some root work on this one if possible. The card I have here is the Two of Pentacles. This is a card that's usually a money card. It's a man juggling or balancing two coins, but it's also sometimes called the card of emotional ups and downs. And this is someone who's trying to balance something and is not succeeding very well, but they're hanging in. In the background, the ocean is going up and down like a roller coaster, and there's some ships on the sea going back and forth, up and down. This is an imbalanced situation, but it's one that you're able to kind of hold together. My prediction is you will be able to get his attention again.
Okay.
It's just going to, you know, take a. You don't have to worry about that. He's still interested to some extent. Problem is second card, and the second card I have here is the Seven of Swords, which is a man who has not been entirely truthful to you. This is sometimes called the card of the liar or the thief or the deceiver. And he has not told you everything that's going on in his life. He may be having, you know, regret or remorse about the relationship he's in now and just sort of checking you out to see if you're going to be available. If you are available, he may make a move. But he's not told you everything that's going on there. There's something going on there that's...
he's not entirely happy, I know that.
Yeah.
He's not entirely happy.
He's not entirely happy in the other relationship.
No, basically it's a relationship where everyone approves, his family, his friends, everyone. It's a good situation, but I believe it's not really what... I guess you could say I'm a little out of the box, you know, for social standards for him. And that would be the ideal relationship for him, socially, right?
Yeah. Well, my sense of this is that he's kind of feeling his options with you, but I don't see him immediately coming to you. And the third card I see here is a card that shows that he basically is sort of like looking at you in imagination or as one of many choices. It's a card called the Seven of Cups. Cups is love. Cups are cards of love and emotion, but this is a man who is facing a cloud in which there are many cups. Each cup has something in it, a house, money, victory, fears, gossip, partying, drunkenness, and a beautiful somebody that they don't know who it is. He's just sort of feeling, you know, it's on and off, because he wants it to be on and off. Now, at this point, I would keep my options open with him, but I would not start any breakup work to break him up with the other person. I would see how that goes. At this point, what you want to do is draw him back into a friendship and see how that goes. That's my opinion on it. So, Michael, what do you see?
Well, I've been looking at my little amethyst crystal ball, and twice I saw the image of a woman reading, which tells me that you should study up on what you want from a relationship and what's keeping you on this seesaw. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Why are you still juggling this thing?
Why?
And that I should, and you should be using the Psalms in your divination and in your prayers and in your spiritual work to settle this situation and get the life you want. And I turned to the Psalms, and my finger landed on Psalm 10, first two verses. Why dost thou stand afar off? Why dost thou hide thyself in times of trouble? In arrogance the wicked hotly pursue. So he just wants what he wants when he wants it, and at no other time. Doesn't matter what you want. I also pulled a few bones, and I got an odd little array. I got the abalone shell, womanly splendor, that's you, cuddled up next to a dog's ankle bone lying on top of a coyote dung. Wow. So, yeah, friendship is the best you're going to get from him, but, you know, he's kind of tricky when it comes to the romance and the love and the, you know, the committed relationship. Standing off to the side is the rattlesnake's vertebra, the rattlesnake and his bravado and his announcing his presence and his intentions. Stand up for yourself. Okay?
I do. I do stand up for myself because I've cut him out of my life, but then I do,
And
know.
Then you take him back. Then you take him back. You got to fortify yourself.
Yes. I mean, it's just not the timing, honestly, for me. It's not right either. I can't have him in my life. Like, I have too much going on. I have kids and school. I'm just not ready for him or anyone. But I do want to know, I guess, that he's there, and I do want a future with him. It's just not the right timing, and we both know that. But now I want to reconcile. I don't want to end the relationship.
Well, let's talk about that then, because that is really your question. What we're seeing here is that it is not the right time. You need to clarify your goals, you have a pretty clear understanding that he's kind of keeping you as what we call a second string for his bow. There's a bit of, he's just looking around. But on the other hand, check him in later down the road. What you've got right now is a situation where you've got to get him to not be arguing and quarreling with you, because you got to keep that the friendship and all.
Yes.
So, Ali, what should she do to reconcile? Because they did have words. What should she do?
Well, a honey jar is really the way to go. But really, when it comes down to it, this is one of those situations where you're going to have to ask yourself if you want to pursue this or not. You know, really take the time. I think Ms. Michael said that, and she's right on the money with that, is ask yourself if this is what you want, because you were in a relationship for a few months, and you've been on and off for 5 years. That's not exactly, you know, the positive way to go about it. Now, you say that it's not the right time, and I 100% agree, and Ms. Cat says this too. This isn't the right time for this reason. This is one of those relationships where sure there may be potential down the line. And by down the line, I mean 5 years, even five more years. We guys need to go apart, not go this back and forth, but completely go your separate paths, and if destiny is meant to be, it'll bring you two back together. Especially given that what he's doing right now, he's not saying, I love you, or, you know, I've always loved you, because he's, you know, ready to jump back in a relationship with you. He's testing the water. When a man is unhappy, I'll give you a dude's perspective. Yes, I use the word dude. I'll give you a dude's perspective. When we're unhappy in a relationship, very often they will look at the ex going, you know what, that person wasn't so bad. And so you kind of test the waters a little bit, knowing that you have what I call a lifeboat. If the shit hits the fans, you jump in the lifeboat. That's what he's doing, okay? If you want a friendship with this guy, what I want you to do is I want you to do a heated honey jar. Now, I'll tell you how to do that. You put some herbs together, a heated honey jar. It's going to heat it up so that he brings this reconciliation faster, and he'll break through that Two of Pentacles state. Because sweetening him up, he's already sweet to you to a certain extent. We want him to kind of put his focus back on you. The way to do this is you take a honey jar, you put in your reconciliation herbs, the balms of Gilead, your cloves for friendship, rose petals for affection, and you put it all together, you light your reconciliation candle, and then I want you to take a couple tea lights. Now, I usually use anywhere from 3 to 4, depending on how big the honey jar is. I dress those with my oils, and I set them up right up against the glass of the honey jar. And what that does is it heats up that glass, warms up that honey. It's a very gentle warming sensation. You're not setting this guy on fire, but it's enough heat to really get a honey jar going. It makes honey jar work really fast. It speeds things up, in other words. It works really great. Sometimes I put it on a plate so that it's at a little angle. It'll cause the central flame of your candle to flicker a little bit, and there'll be a lot of wax residue, but that's all right. Use that wax for a little bit of divination and scrying, and use that heat to kind of get him to come back, okay? Now, what that does is it'll break that back and forth, wishy-washy, you know, flip-flopping back and forth, you know, drama that he's got going on. And it puts a little, enough heat for him to go, I like her enough to be with her, or I like her enough to be her friend. Okay?
So you said tea lights, right?
Tea lights, because the tin heats up, and you put that up against the glass, and then you put a regular freestanding pink candle or white candle on top of the metal lid.
So the tea lights should also be pink?
You could absolutely do pink. I use white with tea lights, but pink is great. Red is not what you're looking for in this situation. I want white or pink, okay?
Yeah.
And what should she dress the candle with? What oil?
I recommend reconciliation oil because it'll help. A lot of people think reconciliation oil is just for love relationships, but it can also be for friendships. I've brought, you know, friendships back together with it. It heals the hurt, it gets communication going, and that's what you need, okay? But again, only do this if you really want this guy back. Make sure that you're ready for it. Okay, then go for it, but set yourself a deadline, okay?
Okay, so, I really do. He's a really good guy. I really do. The thing does he really love me?
I don't think that's a question that you're going to like the answer to at this moment. I think that he loves you, but that doesn't mean he wants to leave his partner for you at this time. Do not make the mistake of closing your door to finding another partner by waiting for him to leave this one. Right now, your relationship with him is fragile, and it's not the time yet to do any kind of breakup work. If you get to the point where you're having a secret sex affair with him and he says he hates the woman he's with, whatever, then try some breakup work. But at this point, I think he is sounding you out, and he is trying to see what is going on. Stay his friend. I would do one other thing, too. I would write a little note to myself and put it away. Put a date on it and say everything, maybe not a little note, maybe a little novelette. Write how you feel and put a date on it and promise yourself this, that in 1 year you're going to go back and read it and add a postscript to it, and a year after that, and see what happens, okay? I think you're going to find that this relationship will change, mutate, and evolve over time. It will. But you need to ground yourself, and one way is to write yourself a little memoir of what's happening. All right, Ms. Tammy Lee, we need to end the show.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And thank you, Ms. Kat, and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our special guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Ms. Benedicta of the Root Doctor SE in Sweden. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from triplecrownconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and to invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Ms. Michael, for being our guest. Thank you, Tammy Lee, for being our announcer. Thank you, Ali, for telling us all about the wonderful things you discovered on your journeys. And if people want to stick around in the chat room, we will have a little bit of chat afterwards, of course. Good night.
Good night,
everyone.